We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number three, Dale and Pete, Sports Radio WEEI. Parade day in the city of Boston, or as I said on Twitter, what we like to call it here in Boston, Wednesday.
We've seen a couple of these.
Yeah, we've seen a few of these things.
Not bad.
So when the team was here, and they were at Fenway Park earlier this morning, they left from here, the duck boat started departing around 11. But they've got a little stage set up on top of the Red Sox dugout. They had a little speakers program. Tom Karen, my Nesson colleague, was emceeing it. Ownership was out there. Dick Flavin was out there. He was first.
I missed Dick Flavin.
He was first.
I missed Dick Flavin. I want to... Rossi, can you send that to
no,
me?
No, so no, we're living. No, no, it's right. just calm right. down.
Look at Paul.
So he was followed by the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, the governor of Massachusetts.
It was a big to do.
Charlie Baker. Then they brought ownership out. John Henry, Tom Werner, and Sam Kennedy, the president of the team. Then they worked their way through Dave Dombrowski, and then had him come out there, and then you got into the meat and potatoes.
A bunch of players. Steve Pierce, they had the MVP out there. They had
Nathan Eovaldi, Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly, they were all good. They were all great.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Right.
They brought them all out. But there were a couple of things also with Alex Cora out there being as fun to listen to as you might imagine.
He was great, yeah.
Generally speaking, when I was a member of DX, we just said suck it.
Yeah, I remember that.
We didn't do the suck on it, but
no,
you know.
Both apparently are okay to say. Is that right, Rossi? We're getting a thumbs up there. I guess that's fine.
Good to go.
So that's going to be the next Red Sox shirt. I think that should be their next hashtag. Because do damage was nice. That worked
out. Excellent. And now they've got hashtag damage done.
And then 2019 Red Sox, hashtag suck on it. Don't you think?
Go for it.
Okay. I'd buy that T-shirt.
We mentioned that the WWE sent the Red Sox a championship belt.
Of course they did.
The side plates. The Red Sox.
Yes.
It's Dustin Pedroia who's lugging that through the streets of Boston right now, which kind of makes sense. He's a big wrestling guy.
Didn't play, but okay.
But
sorry.
Wayne Lynn's on one of the boats, too.
I know he's not wearing the belt, is he?
No.
Rocking a belt. Why don't you give the belt to a guy that's suited up?
Brock Holt. Give the belt to Brock
Holt.
Yes,
Brock Holt.
The Brock star.
The Brock star.
He's
he
busy.
Would be.
He's carrying Griff around, who or might be the cutest kid I've ever seen.
His son, Griff. Is that a son?
Griff, yeah.
Looks just like the kid from Jerry Maguire. The human head weighs 8 pounds. He looks like that guy. he really does. Alex Cora, I think, actually should be wearing the heavyweight belt. He's as much.
Well,
WWE
he's got one of the World
gets.
Series trophies around his duck.
Yeah, they're all over
his
the place.
Duck boat.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Okay. All right. There's nothing you can say about that. But so, David Price did not go on the podium.
He did not. They brought several players up. J.D. Martinez was up at the podium as well. David Price was not at the podium. He was in a huge scrum of media members down the first baseline over there near Canvas Alley. And he probably dropped the biggest news of the day when he was talking to that group.
Yeah, I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
There it is.
So the deadline was tonight at midnight.
Right.
If he was going to opt out, he had to tell them by midnight tonight. And he didn't even leave any room for drama. He just said flat out, I'm opting in, which isn't a thing, but that's okay.
You just don't opt out.
Exactly.
So do nothing. If you want to stay here, do nothing. So he's going to do nothing.
Or as Keith likes to say, do less.
Do less. He just has to sit back. Enjoy the day, enjoy the parade, go home or fly home, whatever he's going to do, and he's going to be back for 4 more years.
He is back at $127 million over the next 4 years. I think.
I don't like it.
Some people, me included, thought he was going to opt out just based on how he sounded after winning the World Series.
Now, you said.
He sounded sort of joyless, didn't he?
He kind of did. And the whole thing in the press conference, and added to the list of memorable moments from the postseason, at the end of it, you got David Price saying, you know, you guys played the card of, you know, me being terrible in the playoffs. You played it well. You played it all the time. But now you don't. You can't because I have all the cards. And you're like, okay. So my question was he going to take the cards somewhere else or is he going to just hold on to the cards here? And so now does he think, Like, will he never get criticized again? Will he never get – and not that he got booed a lot. Like, and also, I was confused. Was the message just to the media? Was it a mix of the media and the fan base? Because he's definitely had issues with
both. Whole card thing, I think he was talking about the media.
The media,
he said, you know, every September you start asking me about it.
But to be fair,
spring training.
He used to, and he doesn't do this as much to my knowledge, but he used to respond to a lot of tweets. And I think he would try to have
It was a good move on his part to back away from the Twitter feed a little bit.
But those weren't media members that he was tweeting back with, and they were doing the same jokes but worse about, you know, I'm going to dress up as a – I think one of the big Halloween jokes every year was, I'm going to dress up as a playoff star because that would terrify David Price. Hilarious joke. He can't make it anymore. That joke is done. That joke is dead and buried. But the idea was fans would say that to him, and then he would respond. So that wasn't a media scrum. That's not after the game. People – like, would a media member say that to him? No. But fans would, and then he would respond to it. So I think he was mad at both, but he was clearly
addressing
media.
No, I think the fans definitely. Yeah. It's why I said – I didn't think he liked it here. I thought, you know, he had sort of had it with fans, many of them. He had definitely had it with the media. And I thought after his comments, after the stuff that he said, after winning a World Series,
right.
I thought there is no way he's staying. Now, you could say, well, he doesn't have any choice. He's not getting $127 million anywhere else. And that may be true, by the way.
Maybe.
I thought after his
probably true. Yeah.
Well, I thought after his playoff performance,
that helps.
He wasn't going to get that average annual value.
No.
He wasn't topping that. But I could see them saying, all right, look, we'll give you 135 over five.
But it wouldn't have been, you know, comical for him to opt out and expect to make a decent amount of money because he looked really good. Like, he could have easily been the World Series MVP. And he's 33. And so if there's a team desperate for pitching, maybe they say, you know what, screw it. We know the last couple of years of the deal aren't going to be great, but we need a guy right now. Maybe, just maybe, he'd be able to make some of that back up. So I don't know if that even factored into his decision. You would think that it would. You think all these athletes, it's always going to be a decision. He's made a ton of money over the course of his career. But the other part of it is now it's like you chose to stay. Like, first of all, you chose to sign here, and maybe you didn't know what it was really like.
And I think that's fair. He did not understand
what
he was getting. Supposedly, he was done. He was going to St. Louis,
right.
And he's out playing golf, and the next thing he knows, he's getting a call from his agent saying, hey, the Red Sox have come in with this huge offer.
Blew us out of the water, so we're gonna take that deal. So I'll admit, maybe he just heard stories or whatever, but he didn't know for sure. He signs with the team. But now, once you've been here for 3 years, it's your decision to stay or not.
Now it's him.
And so he stays, so he can't complain about it. He can't, you know, may get booed off the mound or take tough questions in the post game and start complaining about it. Like, you have officially signed up for this.
On opening day next year, when they get presented their rings here at Fenway Park, he's going to get a gigantic
huge ovation. Yep, huge ovation.
One of the biggest.
Yeah, no, he will. And I think the Fenway crowd, I think, is pretty forgiving, and you know,
especially when you win.
Well, when you win, for sure. But even before that, I think, how many times did we see the Red Sox fans here, with the exception of the start against the Yankees, how many times did you see him not even pitch amazing but get a standing ovation?
Yeah,
like they're kind of like, you know, willing this guy to pitch well in a Red Sox uniform and saying, well, maybe if we support him, like, that'll help. Like, they tried. So yeah, opening day, or you know, game two, or however the rotation lines up next year, when he's starting, he's going to get a huge ovation. But with anything, you know, if you start to struggle a little bit, there are going to be some tougher questions, I suppose, and how he handles that now that he's been dealing with it for 3 years, and now that he holds the card. Like, I don't know if he thinks that he holds this trump card now. Does that mean that he'll never be asked a tough question again, or he'll never be criticized again?
I do think that, you know, if God forbid he gets off to a slow start in April and has a couple of tough starts, and, you know, Alex Cora is going to haul him off the mound at the bottom in the top of the second inning, he's going to get booed on his way off the field by some, not by the ball.
No, right, I got you.
I mean, he's going to hear some dissatisfaction from people, and maybe he'll be surprised, because maybe he thinks at this point, I'm guessing, he's thinking, well, I just showed them how much I like it here, how much I want to be here.
Well, I think. Because you remember the story when they signed J.D. Martinez and they're going through that process, and David Price said, obviously as a former teammate of J.D. Martinez, he warned him. Like, I was like, what a great recruiting pitch. When he told J.D. Martinez, like, hey, you're going to get booed here. was like, really? That's what you lead with? Like, don't you want the guy on your team? And he said, and David Price said it, and I don't even remember when this happened. Maybe it did. But David Price said, I remember seeing David Ortiz get booed at Fenway. And I was like, oh, you got to really pick and choose when that
was.
Well,
my guess is probably, an early season, and he had a couple of starts in April where things weren't going so good.
He did have a couple bad, yeah, you're right.
And my guess is he could have heard some.
Maybe.
Not a ton.
But, like, come on. Especially his last year. Last year, all it was standing ovations and presents. That's all he got everywhere he
Lots
went.
Lots of presents.
He got presents. He got pictures of himself everywhere he went. But that was his sales pitch to JD Martinez. He's like, hey, it's tough here. They're going to boo you. I'm like, thankfully, it didn't sway JD Martinez because he still took the money and came here. But that's going to be another guy that's interesting. You know, we're talking about all the free agents now, but JD Martinez this offseason, maybe they get something done with him because he holds the cards, his own cards, next offseason because that's when the first of his, like, 100 player options kick in.
617-779-7937. Dave's in Rhode Island. Hey, David.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you?
I'm on my way back from the parade. What a great time. David Price was a gentleman from the duck boat. Just why don't you guys leave him alone?
What are we saying?
Then he opted in.
It's you and the media that make him pissed off and angry at the rest of us.
Let me ask you something. Would you, if he was a free agent, would you sign him to a 4-year, $127 million deal right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's where you and I, we disagree. So, I mean, that's just what it is.
Okay. So you can disagree, but you don't have to run the guy into the ground and kick him out of Boston.
How did I do that? I kicked him out of Boston. How did I do that?
Not kicking him out. You're chasing him out. Negativity.
How?
Negativity breeds negativity, brother.
Except all we've done during this playoff run is talk about how great he's been.
Yeah.
It's called a fake news. That you guys are fake news.
Oh, good. There we go.
Oh, that was waiting for that. No, so when his ERA was over 6 as a starter, was that the fact or were we making that up?
He left us.
Sir, well, it was a great call.
I was happy to talk to him. Listen, in this whole playoff run, we and everybody else has talked about how great he's been. How you can't say anything about him anymore. He was terrific.
Well, no, after the Astros game. Like, it's the Yankees.
From the Astros game on.
Right? Because the Yankee game, like, that's what I get confused with. And for, like, that gentleman who called. So when people were just merely bringing up his stats. Like, so after he went an inning and 2/3 as a starter against the Yankees, was that guy saying, oh, you're being negative? Or is it just truth that he lasted an inning and 2/3? And then when he finally got that win over the Astros, at that point, I think it was almost 100% positive. And then he wins 2 World Series games. So that was all positive. But
by the way, ignore the numbers. And I'd answer to Dave, we obviously aren't chasing him out of town. He just elected to stay for 4 years.
You moron.
You are going news.
Yeah, I don't know how it's fit. So his ERA was over 6 for a while in the playoffs as a starter. That's not fake. That you got to see a bunch of them. You could see all of them if you wanted to. He had a handful of them with the Red Sox. That was the reality of it.
I was slightly more positive about David Price than you were.
Yes, you were.
That wouldn't be hard.
No, well, but listen, I mean, I don't even know how. Like, I was just being a realist. At that point, there was all those insane numbers about pitchers who have made X number of starts in the playoffs, whether it was innings or starts, and how many of them were winless. He was the only one. Like, that was wild. And then, so for him to be able to reverse that is a credit to him completely. But I don't know if it's
Jake Daling.
Was I boring you? All right, I'm done.
Was that like bringing up the music during the Oscar
yeah,
speech?
Like, all right, Keith, we got to go. We got to run. Like, well, I don't know what you're saying anymore.
You're just babbling
fine,
at this
all
point.
Right, that's fine.
Take Dale and Keith with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Well, the parade is continuing to make its way through the streets of the city of Boston. Part of that parade is the voice of the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione is actually on one of the duck boats. Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Dale. And we just passed North Station in the Garden, and we're just about at the end of the tour heading back. And it's been amazing. I mean, thousands of people, I would guess 7 figures at least here watching today. It's a beautiful day and some very, very creative signs as well.
Some of which you probably can't read for us, but
this is true. I love the one that had a graph of Manny Machado's market value going down, down, down.
You know, Joe, the big news before you guys left here was David Price announcing to the media that he was not opting out, that he was staying with the Red Sox for the next 4 years. Does that surprise you at all?
Not at all. I think he turned everything around here this season, and especially in the postseason. And, you know, with what he's doing financially and with the success he's had, I think he feels a lot more comfortable here now. And there were so many David Price signs, too. I mean, I think he may have had as many or more signs than any other player on this current team that we've seen signs for today on the parade route.
Joe, there are so many great moments along the way in the postseason. Is there one that stands out to you that you think you're going to remember the most?
Probably Benintendi's catch. And the personal reasons for that, too, because I went backward in my chair.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yep, yep.
You know, when the ball left the bat, it looked like doomsday. And the guts it took to make that play is amazing. And he had to go 45 feet or so. Wasn't it all that high? But Benny told us after he had it all the way, he was sure he had it. And I think that game was probably the most memorable, along with Game 4 of the World Series and the comeback.
You know, you've been here for a lot of wonderful moments. You've been here for 4 World Series championships. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like Nathan Eovaldi's performance. He's going to be remembered as much for pitching in a losing performance as anybody else is going to be remembered for performing in a winning performance.
Yeah, no question about it, Dale. That was heroic. I mean, to come out of the bullpen like that, throw 97 pitches, and he volunteered to pitch the next day. They had a team breakfast, and he told Alex Cora, "I'm ready to go." And I certainly hope he stays around. What a horse he is, and he's probably the strongest guy on the team. He's just a monster in the weight room, other players tell us. And he has that low heartbeat, that almost no pulse. I think that really helps him in the big moments. He's a very nice guy.
What was the key for you in that 7.5-hour game? Was it tea? Was it a lot of water? What were you doing?
It was a lot of water, that's for sure. And we, you know, I had some relief. We alternate extra innings in terms of play-by-play, but poor Dan Schulman of ESPN lost his voice, and they had to fly in Book Shabby to do Game 5. I can see why it happened. Hours and 20 minutes and nonstop.
I am and have always been a huge Terry Francona fan. You know, when he won a World Series here, I thought he's going to be immortalized in this town. And then a few years later, he was gone. I've never been more impressed, though, listening to a guy than I've been with Alex Cora and how he's handled things. And it's pretty clear why this team loves playing for him.
Yes, you know, no question about it, Dale. He's such a great communicator, and he knows players so well. He's not that far removed from the players' ranks. He knows the game, certainly, but I think what he really knows is people and how to get them to perform to the optimum. And the way he's blended these personalities together is amazing. It's the most together Red Sox team I've ever been around. I think it's the most likable. And a lot of it stems from the kids that came up through the system together. Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, the catchers, and Rafi Devers. And then, of course, you add the people from other organizations and the veterans who've been acquired. And Alex has made it work. He's made these guys blend together. And I think a lot of it's because of the player's personality, too. And when you have a star like Mookie Betts, who's happier when somebody else hits the three-run homer than when he hits the three-run homer, I think you have a sense of togetherness. And it's the most selfless team that I've ever seen.
And it's really impressive, too, because they added to it at the halfway point. It's not like they were all together going back to spring training. Nathan Eovaldi, Steve Pierce, Ian Kinsler, these guys all came on at the trade deadline, and yet they fit in seamlessly.
No question about it. And, you know, the talk was get a reliever. Well, they got a starter who turned out to be a reliever as well. And also the World Series MVP. Yeah, what a great story Steve Pierce is, having played for all the teams in the division, the Pirates and the Astros, and 35 years old. And he'll be remembered forever as the 2018 World Series. So the additions of the
Joe, I think we're losing your signal, but thank you for taking a few minutes. Congratulations on a remarkable season. You and Tim did a great job covering the games here, and It's always fun. I love visiting with Joe all the time. But
maybe
it's fun
they ducked under
to.
A tunnel there.
They might have. Been. We're hoping nothing. Let me tell you one of the weird things that's happening while we're sitting here right now, because I've never seen this before. Oh, thanks, Joe. We appreciate it. As we're watching.
Can
we're
you?
Taking...
If it...
Yeah, exactly. He returned for long yeah, enough to do that. Thank goodness.
Perfect.
As we're sitting here, they're taking the bullpens apart.
Yes,
I've never actually seen the outfield.
Without, like, the padded, like, fronts?
They're taking the whole front of the bullpen wall. They've already taken the Red Sox bullpen walls down. They're taking the visiting
so
bullpen
walls down.
So there's
still a fence up, but it's see-through. It's
the stanchions to hold up the padded pieces, and I guess they take those down as well. They just take all that down.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, and we know the Dodgers, they did not like the bullpens being there. Rick Honeycutt
too close.
Was very upset. Like, what are you talking about? Where else would you put the bullpens here? What, do you got any other ideas? You can't put them down third baseline, I'll tell you that much.
They could take our center field studio away, perhaps, and stick them in there.
That's true.
We wouldn't get a long toss in. But
no, and you'd have to really get the bullpen carts going because you'd be a little ways away.
But they're starting to take all this stuff apart.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys, as we've heard from Joe Castiglione out of the
parade. That was very clear,
room.
By the way. You could hear, like, horns.
It was great up until
stuff,
the point where
right
we disappeared.
End, yeah. But no, that was good.
And as he said, his most memorable moment was...
That would be mine, too.
The last catch of the Houston series when Joe did a digger.
No, it was the wasn't it the game?
Well, he said the Benintendi catch.
No, but there was two. Benintendi had two catches that ended games. The one, though, in game four, the one I think he's referring to, because game five, he wrapped it up with the catch, too. But
I thought that he was talking about the catch that ended the series.
No, I think it was the one that Benintendi dove on, right? Because isn't that the one?
That's the one that ended the series.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because if the ball gets by him, they lose the game probably.
Oh, am I?
It wasn't the
this?
Deciding game. It was.
Yeah,
it was
I didn't
game,
think so. It was game four, right? So it was like either they're up 3-1 or they're down tied 2-2. So that one to me is the most memorable too, because what a decision Benintendi has to make, because either they're going to extra innings or they lose. And now it's 2-2, but he comes flying in and makes the play.
Right, the pitch, swinging a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives. And did he make the catch? He did! He got it! The Red Sox win!
The Red Sox
As
win!
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
That was the best. I mean, so even the added bonus of Joe falling out of his chair and finishing the call, but that play was so important for him. I mean, think about what a difference that would have been if it was 2-2 and then you're going up against Verlander the next night. Like, that was an unbelievable catch, and that I think won him the series.
By the way, during one of the commercial breaks, I went down the way here, and Ian Brown, MLB.com, is writing away, working. There aren't many people in this press box, but he's one of them. And I was asking him about David Price. He was in that big media scrum with Price, and he said the TV guys are all asking him, how do you feel about winning the World Series? He's holding his cute little son, and Ian finally just sort of jumped in and said, are you opting out? And that's when he answered the question.
Yeah, that's great.
And I said to Ian, I said, so does this surprise you? He said, not a bit. He said he was never going to be able to get that same amount of money if he opted out.
Yeah.
He did not accept my premise that maybe he gets more money, but longer term, they spread it out over more years. He said he was not going to top that.
No, which I think should, again, I understand that some fans would, want him back. But the idea that the team wouldn't be kind of happy if he opted out, I think I take that part seriously, because they just would have more flexibility. The idea that no other team would pay him what you're currently paying him means it's a bad contract. Like, that's just what it is. And it wouldn't be the first. The Red Sox have a host of them. We went through all the guys. They could field a team of guys they're paying that aren't even playing for them. And a lot of high-priced guys, and they've done that throughout their entire history here. That's one of the problems you can have when you're willing to spend a ton of money. Well, if you don't spend it well, these guys are guaranteed every single penny. So they're going to collect it somewhere or another. So Price has four more years left, and we'll see. I mean, I'm sure the highs and lows have really just begun.
Let's go to Sandy's in Dartmouth. Hey, Sandy, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Well, thank you.
So I just had an observation, and then I'll hang up. My observation was when we won the game the other night, they kept panning in on Price, and he kept looking really solemn. And I wondered if he was just taking it all in of the moment, or was he angry and kind of taken aback for the fact that he wasn't the MVP?
I think he was mad about it.
I don't know about anger, But I will say it would be hard to not be disappointed.
Yeah, I think he was.
If you're him. I think your observation is probably valid, Sandy. He probably was disappointed.
Because that would have been the perfect
Heck, I was
story
disappointed
for him.
It was one of those rare instances where I wanted to see co-MVPs. Michael Silverman wrote a great piece in the Herald about the whole MVP voting.
It's really screwy,
it's
isn't it?
Totally weird. Yeah. They basically try to set it up so that you can't have a tie. They have five votes.
Right.
One of the five votes is split between, in this case, Silverman of the Herald and this writer for the LA
Dodgers,
Times,
yeah.
I think. So those two guys, they have to come to a consensus and split a vote. And then there's four other votes. It was Fox. It was ESPN Radio. It was the major media partners.
Right.
They had gone right up to the end, according to Silverman. They were going back and forth, Pierce or Price, Pierce or Price. And Pierce hits that home run, and they're thinking about and they had decided it was going to be Price, and then Pierce hits the home run, and they say, let's split it. Let's give a half a vote to each guy. If they had made Price the sole guy, he would have won the MVP. Because they split the vote, he lost the co-MVP by half a vote.
Yeah, just bizarre. Just bizarre. I mean, he was definitely deserving. And that would have been, talk about holding the cards. I mean, that's an extra card that you have. You know, not only did you pitch well in the World Series, but you will forever be remembered as the World Series MVP. So, but yeah, I think that combined with him not being able to get the money, he does love his teammates. He loves his manager. He loves the guys, by the way,
was one thing Ian Brown said to me when I was talking to him. He said he loves the guys on this team.
Yeah, and a lot of them are going to be back. Like, sure, some of them are going to be gone, but the majority of the players from this year's team will be back. And so that has to make things easier for Price. And he's winning more and more fans back by the day. I mean, every time he pitched after the Yankee series, he started to win more fans back. And then the performance in the last game, he's got a lot of fans. And there's not going to be as much negative stuff written about him because I don't even know how negative it was or if it was just pointing out all of his past playoff performances and most of them were bad. That's sort of the reality of it. And then he brought a lot of the other stuff on himself with the cats and the dogs and the grass and the Fortnite and everything else. So that was kind of on him, and we'll see. We'll see how different it is next year and if he likes it even more.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The parade is over. The Red Sox and the Boats are on their way back here to Fenway Park, but they are making their way a little quicker clip now back to Fenway and getting ready to unload.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, when you sat this offseason waiting to see where you're going to end up, it dragged on a little longer than you want, a little longer than people thought. But I remember that look on your face and your parents at Fort Myers when you finally came in and said this was going to be my home. When did you have a feeling that this was going to be a special team, that you were coming into something special?
I think, after that first month of the season, just playing alongside the guys and really getting to be, a teammate and really get to go to battle with them every night, you kind of just saw it. You saw the special. You saw how everybody was just coming together, how they bounced back from games. If we lose a couple games, how everybody just kind of had that mentality of tomorrow's another day type deal. And it was just special. That whole first month is when I kind of just hit me.
J.D. Martinez on the little stage here at Fenway Park before they hopped out on the duck boats and headed into the streets of Boston. The duck boats are on their way back here now, by the way. The parade part's over. Joe Castiglione estimated seven figures. And just based on, I don't know how they figure this stuff out, but the little bit we saw, looking at how deep the crowds were for much of the parade route, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it topped a million.
No, not at all. Yeah, it didn't feel like, is this going to be the parade finally where there's a little bit of a letdown or not as many people out there, but no, it seemed like just as popular as ever. Some of the crowd shots, you're going like 10 deep or more on both sides throughout. So
Nesson's got a great shot right now, a helicopter shot of the duck boats making their way back through Kenmore Square in the shadow of the Citgo sign.
Yeah, no, that is a good shot. There's a ton of duck boats, too.
Well, they had a lot of folks.
They had a lot of guys out there. A lot of people were on boats. The Sue Wei Lin Mookie Betts boat, that was a big one.
What's that? How we're calling it?
The Sue Wei Lin boat.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, this is the first parade I've been to since the Celtics beat Houston
when was it, back in the 80s?
You've missed a few in between there.
Yeah, well, I was in Florida for 30 years. But let me just tell you, it was a lot of fun. And the reason why I'm calling in is because you had a caller that just called in a few minutes ago, and he blamed everything with David Price on the media. Listen, I love sports radio. I listen to all of it. And let me just tell you something. What's been going on with David Price has been brought on by David Price, and the people that are complaining are people like me, fans that listen to him, that watch him play and admire him and have actually, you know, changed our attitude a little bit about him. But this has nothing to do with the media. This has nothing to do with fake news. This has something to do with the player who needs to stand up and mature and move on from his problems. But these people blaming the media, it makes me sick and kind of drove me to give you all a call today.
Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate that. We don't get a lot of people defending the media, Dale.
That might have been the one.
We save that. That'll be important to play at some point. But it is a good point. I mean, a lot of the David Price stuff throughout the last 3 years was brought on by David Price.
By David Price.
Right. It was just sort of how he handled certain things and certain questions. And so that has been put to bed because, again, the biggest criticism of him was his postseason performance. Now, the next one that you'll get into next year, and Dale, I mean, fans do have short memories in a certain degree, right? Like, they're always going to remember fondly this team, but then when players from this team, if they perform poorly next season, they don't just say, well, how about it? Last year was great. Like, you don't do that. You're talking about next year. So if he goes out there and struggles against the Yankees, which he has done for 3 straight years, people will get, they'll start to get on him a little bit.
Joe Castiglione made the point that this is a very likable team. And even the issues that some fans have had with Price in the past, if you set David Price aside, I know he's part of the team, but just set him aside for a minute, it's a wildly likable team.
It's extremely, extremely likable. You know, I mean, they have guys, again, we always have the conversation about, are there even superstars in baseball? And maybe there aren't. Maybe they're not to the NBA or NFL level.
But Mookie Betts is one.
He should be. Yeah, he absolutely is one. I think J.D. Martinez, you know, kind of, he's probably on the fringe of that. You know, Chris Sale and some of the other guys, you know, maybe Bogarts and Benintendi are sort of on their way to that. You know, those guys, you know, still being in their early to mid-20s and putting up all-star caliber seasons, they're sort of on that list. But, yeah, they are likable. And it's also interesting, even from the outside, whereas before you could see, I mean, people are sick of Boston's success, obviously, and maybe even Red Sox success, but they don't have a lot of automatically hateable guys, I don't think, from the outside. You know, like if you were a fan of the Dodgers and you were trying to get yourself into the series, like it's easy for us to hate Manny Machado. It was
real,
very simple.
Real easy.
It was no problem. But for the Red Sox, when you look at them, I don't know who you would even really be bothered by. Like they don't have anybody that stands out. They don't have a Paul O'Neill. They don't have a Kevin Youkilis. Like they don't have a guy. Like when teams hated Kevin Youkilis, I was like, yeah, I get it. Like I get it. Like he's our guy, so we're rooting for him, but I completely get it. This team didn't have that guy.
617-779-7937. Adam's on the cell phone. Hey Adam.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I gotta be honest, I don't quite understand sort of like the David Price hate. I mean, the big knock on him was that he couldn't win in the postseason. I mean, and that's over. I mean, he went out there and he put the team in his back. And without him, we don't win that World Series. I mean, we could have won it without Steve Pierce. He had a great series, great ad, great player, great memories. But the Red Sox were waiting for some guy to hit the big homer. Was it going to be Mookie? Was it going to be JD? Was it going to be Jackie again? I mean, it was inevitable we're going to score, but it was not inevitable that some pitcher is going to step up and win 2 games for us like that. So I don't know if it was
inevitable that they were going to score. I mean, you look
at went about 20 innings where they couldn't do anything.
Right. And, you know, look at last year's team, and I know J.D. Martinez wasn't on it, but you look at last year's team, and the year before that, they win the division, they get to the playoffs,
yeah,
they couldn't score runs at all.
But they had the number one offense in baseball. The last thing they needed going into the trade deadline was a big bat to pop a few homers. The homers were coming. The score.
And they got it anyway. His name was Steve Pierce.
No, well, no, they needed a guy that could hit lefties, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it was. He's hit a nice series. But if anyone thinks he's the real MVP of this series, I contend it's a David Price personal issue.
Pierce was pretty damn good. I mean, I'm with you. I mean Price, I could go either way. Like,
I thought co-MVPs would have been perfectly understandable. In fact, I advocated for co-MVPs, and I generally hate that sort of thing. I would agree with you that now perhaps it's going to be hard to explain David Price hate in the aftermath of what he just did. But we've heard from people.
No, so
I hope he opts out. I don't want him back.
No, but there's a difference there, though. There's one, if you say, I don't want him back because I don't like him, like, that's a little bit different, isn't it, than I don't want him back because it's a terrible contract. Like, that's why I said I didn't want him back.
But see, I do think that there's a fair number of people out there who don't want him back because they don't like him.
No, and that's fine. So that's different. Those are people that just they don't like him. It didn't matter what he did this postseason. They weren't going to like him. They didn't like some of the excuses, some of the press conferences. They didn't like that stuff. That's fine. You know me. Hold a grudge all you want. I'm just saying.
you have a healthy respect for that.
Please do. But my point specifically is, he could even be the nicest guy in the world. Let's say he never did any of the Fortnite stuff, or he never did any of the weird excuses and all that stuff. Let's say that never happened. 33 years old, 4 years, $127 million. It's a bad contract. I wanted him to opt out too. But it doesn't mean that, you know, he's going to be awful next year and I can't root for him. Like, I'm not going to say that. But if it was up to me, yeah, I would have hoped that he opted out.
Mark's in Foxborough. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys, great show as usual.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have an argument for why Pierce deserved the MVP and not David Price, and it's got nothing to do with his personality.
Okay,
good. What do you got?
What I say is that Game 4 and Game 5 were more important games for the Red Sox than Game 2 and 5. So after Game 3, Pierce won that Game 4 and 5. You know, Price won at home. That was a big game for him. It certainly was important. But I think Game 4 and 5 were more important than Game 2 and 5.
Yeah, see, as far as I'm concerned, Game 2 is every bit as important as Game 5. You got to win 4.
Yeah, right.
You still have to win 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had one in the bank. I just think after Game 3, you needed something to turn that momentum around. If you didn't have that, it could have been a different outcome.
I understand your argument. To me, David Price's performance in his two wins and a relief appearance,
wins, a relief appearance, and a couple of warm-up sessions.
Yeah, I could make an argument that the last home run Steve Pierce hit meant nothing.
Yeah, they were up 4-1. It made it 5-1. You know, the other two home runs were
very an empty net home run.
I've heard that. They were very significant, the other two home runs. That one wasn't as much, but it still kind of adds to the stats. You see the home run, the RBI total, the batting average. It was all very good for him. Yeah, that was – you really could have gone either way. I mean, the best position player in the series was Pierce. The best pitcher in the series was David Price.
And I would have had
– yeah, either,
not only would
either
I
way.
Have not had a problem with making them both MVPs, I think they should have made them both MVPs.
If the system wasn't so screwy, maybe they would have been.
God, it's so weird, isn't
it? Yeah. And like, you can only have 5 outlets to even vote on it?
5 votes, and one of those is split between 2 different people.
Because then when it comes to like the year-long MVP, they have like 1,000 guys that vote.
I had a vote.
What, the year-long MVP?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
I didn't have a vote. No.
You might have.
Totally made it up.
You could have.
As we sit here right now, up in the broadcast booth here at Fenway Park, we are watching this parade of people making their way back through the garage door in center field.
Yes.
And back towards the Red Sox dugout and ultimately underneath in the clubhouse area. So, many of them have made a detour out to the scoreboard.
Go take a couple pictures. Standings are still up, which is nice.
And under the scoreboard, the game scoreboard, it now just says 2018 World Champions. And, you know, nothing better than a good photo op out there.
Got the LA on there still. That's nice.
But they are all back now here at Fenway. And I would say, for the most part, we're going to lose these guys for a while. You're not going to hear much from, I mean, other than, you know, the occasional night out. But I think many of them are headed home.
I was going to say, pitchers and catchers report in, what, 4
February,
months?
February, yeah.
It's really, when you play till almost November, there's really not that much of an off season. That's another reason why it's so tough to come back and repeat, even though the Dodgers were in the World Series last 2 years. But still, yeah, that is a quick turnaround when you have such a long season.
I mean, you're happy to have the short turnaround.
Oh, it's great. You wouldn't ask for it anything other way, but you think about tomorrow is November, and some of these guys are going to be in Fort Myers in February.
And you're going to have some of them. We don't know yet who they are, but I imagine you'll have at least some of them who will have things that they got to get taken care of physically here.
Yeah, I wonder if Chris Sale, if that's a surgery type of situation that he's dealing
rehab
with.
Rehab type of situation.
Or what's going on with
him. A big bottle of Tums.
I don't think, well, that's part of it. He's dealing with a few things. Get him in like a sling with some Pepto. I don't know what he's going to need, but that would be one of the biggest areas of concern or areas of interest this offseason, to see what's the status with his shoulder, elbow, stomach, everything.
They're all headed back into Fenway Park. They're making their way back towards the clubhouse area, and they may have some team function. Maybe they'll get together tonight or something
party.
Like that.
Yeah, why not?
But then I got a feeling
everybody goes away.
They're going to scatter to the four winds and head to their off-season homes. I don't even know which, if any, of these guys live here year-round.
Well, I heard Steve Pierce's father's from the area.
Well, yeah, I heard that. Okay. You just go to Rehoboth and live with mom and dad for a few months.
I think most of the other guys live somewhere else, parts unknown, whether it's Florida or California or wherever else. They're going to be getting out of here.
I mean, the one guy who lives here pretty much year-round is David Ortiz, and that one, he doesn't play anymore, but he does live here pretty much year-round.
Yep.
The rest of them will head for their off-season homes, and we'll see them again. In February.
It's just a few short months.
That big Boston College game is when we'll
first see them again. BC Northeastern doubleheader, and that'll be it. That'll be the next baseball we see.
And that opening day here at Fenway, of course, is when you'll get the World Series rings, and they'll actually fly the official the World Series pennant,
right.
The one outside Fenway Park, which was up the next morning.
Oh, yeah, it was up there. It was
that's not the official one.
That's not the one that was on Mystic
Valley. Wasn't on a truck in Somerville somewhere. They had to get it hung before somebody swiped it on them and tried to sell it back to them.
You know those guys were on the lookout there for the
those
World Series.
Those guys disappeared, didn't they?
Well, remember, it went from three down to two. And then
now it's none.
Yeah, they're out of there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We're here at Fenway Park. It's Dale and Keith.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
We know that that's the original one.
We were told there was only one made.
Yeah, we were told there was only one
man
made.
At that point, that tells us, but then they told us they had a duplicate.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for waiting.
There's a couple of criminal geniuses, isn't it? Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.